We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good day! Everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome to Wednesday here on Head on the Head On Radio Network. I am John Fox, your replacement host for the rest of the week. And it's prayer meeting. I've been blessed as Deacon John. And we're going to get there in a minute. We got lots to do. And being prayer meeting, I'm going to tag that into what's going on in Egypt. Yeah, John, one track mind, but hey, this is real. This is big. So we'll see, you know, where we get. But the best news of the day is the fact that the toll-free number is connected to here. Now, we haven't actually had a chance to test this because it wasn't being swapped over until, 4 minutes ago. So, you can get in touch with us at 1-877, or sorry, I keep doing that one thing. You don't do that over there, do you? Talk about habit. 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. And the email rolls into, the email rolls into John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. And we've got lots to do today. I'm in a lot better mental shape than I was yesterday. I was pretty thrashed after the gig the night before. But, a little bit of a nap yesterday after the show and a decent night's sleep last night and kind of raring to go here. And I'm just kind of having a list here. when I do Bob's show from down here, you got to realize it's a little weird. Because it's, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning over here. And y'all are like in drive time. So, you know, it's a bit early, for one. Secondly, it's a really strange headspace to be in. It's morning here, but it's not there. Does my head in? Anyway. But we end up kind of putting the show together in very short order with Susan and Lottie and Texas Betsy and everybody. So, you know, the show post thing is like a bit of a, you know, just do it. But I'm having a look here, and Susan's got some great stuff from prayer meeting up here. We'll get to all that. Like I said, the toll-free number is happening, 877-443-2366. I don't think the 658 quadruple three number will come through to here. So if you want to do it on your own dime and save us a buck, you will want to ring 304-574-7811, my normal number. So anyway, well, since it's prayer meeting, I reckon we need to wake up the choir master. Choir master, where are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches,
sing it,
thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Hallelujah! Oh, yay! All these years later, and that song from The Chaser still works. I won't even try to do Bob's Reverend thing. Sorry, I don't have it. I don't have that. I just don't have it. It's one of the things I'm really glad Bob, you know, saw the light of reality, because somewhat of a known fact, he was a bit of a hillside preacher in his young days, and Bob would have been a scary preacher, you know? Just think about how great he is on radio. Imagine if he had that tuned into being one of these just rabid religious fuckers. Oh, yeah, by the way, folks, if you're just tuning in, John's on the radio. Roar! The language will flow. But that's just the way I am. I don't censor. But anyway, I do have to take care of some business here. I've been in touch with Bob from the ship, and they're having a gorgeous, wonderful, beautiful time. However, we have had all of 2 donations so far in the month of February. And like I said, even though I'm doing the show from here and all of that, the bills in West Virginia still come. So we need to, we really, really, really need to get some cash flow in. So I know there are regulars that do it all the time. We love and thank you for it. And those of you that may not as regularly or whatever, if you can, please, whatever. We got bills to pay, and it's truly crucial that we at least make our $2,500 goal each month. To pay for the streamers, to pay for, you know, Bob's internet access, the toll-free number, and all its incurred costs, you know, and not to mention the fact that we're constantly having to, you know, replace and maintain equipment. And that $2,500, you know, just barely covers the minimum sustenance costs for this network, you know. Nobody here gets paid for this, and I'll be happy to keep doing it for free as long as we're able to keep this venue open where we can actually discuss some subjects. And, you know, yeah, I know who our donations are from this month, and they're regulars. And, in fact, they're horn people, part of our loose staff. So we could use some listener support this month, really, truly, seriously, badly. But enough of that. And I won't come back to that if I check in a little later in the program and I see some results. So I think we should, to start, prayer meeting. Okay, like, y'all know, I'm fully into freedom of religion. You know, you can be free to believe what you want, all that stuff. It doesn't mean that I have to say that it's true. It doesn't mean that I have to tiptoe around reality because you don't want to deal with it. Or, you know, and I've got some stories tying into this. There's one about education that is going to make you scream, but we'll start off with something slightly more lighthearted. This is one of the ones that that Susan put up on the blog post today. Confession? There's an app for that. The Catholic Church has sanctioned an iPhone app. Now, is it me or does this just scream of desperation? You know, people of so-called faith are fleeing in such great numbers. And, you know, what is this, trying to get kids involved? You know, like going, oh, we'll get the youngins. We haven't had any fresh meat in a while. But I love this. Confession, a Roman Catholic app aims, this is from the Huffington Post, aims to bring modern Catholics back to the faith through a personalized examination of conscience for each user. The app walks users through the sacrament, though according to ABC News, doesn't act as a substitute for the real thing. The real thing? It's all bullshit! Excuse me, can I have a Ritz cracker and some really bad wine? And so I guess from the statement from the Vatican.
Our desire is to invite Catholics to engage in their faith through digital technology, said Patrick Leenan of the three-man company Little Eye Apps, based in South Bend, Indiana. Taking to heart Pope Benedict's message from last year's World Communications Address, our goal with this project is to offer a digital application that is truly new media at the service of the Word. The app is thought to be the first approved by church authority, though other religious apps do exist, and leads Catholics through an examination of conscience. Wow! It's a guilt app! It's a guilt app! What did you do today?
I did this.
Heathen! Sinner!
People are ridiculous. Anyway. But the app goes beyond the Ten Commandments, ends the piece. Ooh. would have no more impact on me than playing bloody Angry Birds, which I've never played. What a freaking joke. Dave in the chat room, now they need an exorcism app. Man, beware what you might ask for. It could get a little bit scary. You know, watch the Catholic Church starts, you know, sending them around as viri into your phone so that it, like, you know, melts your phone if you download porn or something. Bloody hell. Just mad. But I always get really tied up in these, doing these prayer meeting shows, because I just want to go railing. And that's not really cool. But, my care factor is pretty much nil. And Indian Poppy in the chat room says, how would one know that their confessor is really a priest? It'd be kind of like a calling a 900 number. Yeah, do they have a call sent? Do they have a call center in India? Hello, confessions are us. crazy, stupid. Anyway, and anything coming from this Nazi sympathizer, kid peddling, fondling Dodge merchant. And all I see is that this is marketed towards kids. So what happens if your conscience study or whatever the hell that is comes up bad? Does the Vatican contact you personally? Do they give you advice? Do they tell you to stone your sister? Or burn your mother? What a crock. What a freaking crock. But I'm gonna divert from prayer meeting, and if y'all got stuff you want to add to that, please feel free to call in. Remember, and I'd love for someone to ring in and test to see if this 800 number connection thing's working. 8774 head on. 877-443-2366. Somebody give me a buzz on this thing so we can find out whether the porting worked. Be really good. But this actually was going to be my kind of top story, because I thought that this was hilarious. Being that the subject of this piece is probably a Republican, he's probably one of these people that goes around preaching family values. And, you know, the gays are bad and all these other things, right? And that you shouldn't lie. Now, this is probably the crucial one for what you're about to hear. From the Washington Monthly. The latest in a long line of Republican sex scandals. I'm going to read a little bit from this because just the detail is so crucial. This is from Steve Bannon. The latest in a long line of Republican sex scandals. A couple of years ago, Republican Representative Christopher Lee of New York wrote a piece warning constituents about internet safety, responding to what may seem like a friendly email or an appealing marketing offer can have serious consequences, he said. Private information and images can so easily be transmitted to friends and strangers and the like. The conservative lawmaker really should have taken his own cautionary words more seriously. Rep. Christopher Lee is a married Republican congressman serving as the 26th District of New York. But when he trolls Craigslist's Women Seeking Men forum, he's Christopher Lee, divorced lobbyist and fit, fun, classy guy. One object of his flirtation told us her story. On the morning of Friday, January 14th, a single 34-year-old woman put an ad in the Women for Men section of Craigslist Personals. Will someone prove to me that not all CL, I'm assuming that's conservative-leaning, men look like toads, she asked, inviting financially and emotionally secure men to reply. Notice financial was first. Right-winger, it's all about the frickin' money. But anyway. So she's looking for a rich guy. Ooh, I think we have a phone call. Welcome to Head On. Who we got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan. So that is that the 800 number?
No.
Damn.
I tried to call the 800 number and I got an invalid number.
Okay. They weren't sure if the porting was going to make it in time. Hopefully through the show it'll come live and then it should be good for the rest of the week. So, sorry, folks. We can keep trying it throughout the hour. Bob did make the call, and the settings should have been changed. If it's not getting here, I don't know what to say, and I can't do anything about it now. But
I'll put the 304 number up on show post.
Thank you very, very much. What can I do for you since you rang in?
Well, I wanted to mention something about that, the church trying, dear old, the former Nazi tail gunner, aircraft gunner, trying to go for, reach the youth vote.
Yeah.
At the same time, the church is also, the Catholic Church in the United Kingdom is also warning parents on what to look out for as far as witchcraft is concerned.
Here we go.
Here we go again.
When I spent a year at military school in high school, we had a great Dungeons and Dragons club. And then one of the parents went, "Ooh, witchcraft!" And we all had to send all our Dungeons and Dragons stuff home. And you could be suspended if you were found with a map or a 20-sided die. What is wrong with people?
That's like that stupid twit from Maryland saying, "Oh, I'm a witch," when what she described was a satanic rite. She wasn't a witch, she was a Satanist. There's a difference, guys. and these people are just stupid.
They are. The willful ignorance, I keep coming back to that. Cognitive dissonance and willful ignorance. And this stuff is just that, and it always kills me every time, kids get involved in anything that's fantasy-like, that, is purely imagination. And that tends to end up creating things like, magic
users.
Well,
why they're eyes of Wicca?
Say that again?
Do you know why they're worried about the rise of Wicca? Not because there are huge amounts of Wiccans or because the Wiccans are out there proselytizing, because Wiccans don't proselytize ever.
Nope.
They're worried because Harry Potter turned out to be such an incredibly popular series of books.
It's the same as the Dungeons and Dragons stuff. It's exactly the same.
Has absolutely no connection with reality. It's fiction, folks.
Playing magic users and elves is worse than playing cowboys and Indians, where the Indians are always the evil ones to be killed.
It's just like the same hoorah after the Michelangelo Code or whatever.
Oh, the Da Vinci Code, that really fucking horrible book.
The Da Vinci Code, yeah.
I've heard that's one of the worst written books ever. Like, I've never read it, but Gail, said...
I've never read it either.
Like, just as far as literature, it's horrible. It's, written really badly.
This book comes out, and I know from experience, because I've got right-wingers in my family, they just went crazy. They went bananas. They were emailing me, calling me in the whole nine yards, and I'm telling, guys, aren't you losing track of something? This is fiction. This is make-believe. It's fiction. It's all made up.
Is the problem, Susan, that they believe a fiction, too? and it's the competition between who's fiction. Because they're basing the argument on the fact that their fiction is the truth.
Yeah, it's just weird. one other thing, I got two other things to tell you about.
Okay.
What I want to know is, why is that German in the Vatican in such a tearing hurry to beatify Pope John Paul II? It's not like John Paul's got a dentist appointment. He's dead.
Yeah. Is it
to be going anywhere?
Well, is it because he is in the recent memory and they want to fast track this to use it as a way to say, well, remember this guy, you really liked him and we made him like officially holy now. And not letting it take its normal course, which it's all just kabuki theater. It's all just nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I can understand saying somebody was a saint if they literally work themselves to death doing good works.
You know, as far as popes go, you know, the John II, that was the one just before this guy, right?
He's the Polish dude.
Yeah, he's the guy that went around and spoke to everybody in their own tongues and
right.
You know, I actually had some time for that guy.
Yeah, he was pretty good. He was pretty good pope. I thought he was halfway decent for a pope, and I thought, hey, now he's not bad. But I'm just going, what is the bloody rush? He's not going to get up and leave.
I think it's to tap into his fan base before they die.
My other thing that I wanted to mention. Gabby Gifford asked for a piece of toast.
You're kidding.
She did. She asked for toast.
You know,
in a clear voice, she asked for toast.
I knew nothing about this woman before this horrible incident. And I am just blown away by the strength. It's just incredible. To be sure.
So she can see at least out of one eye. She can hear. She can move all four limbs. And she can talk.
Wow. Wow. well, I tell you what, she pulls out of this and after all that therapy and is able to, you know, go out and communicate with the public. We could have a serious, serious gun control advocate here.
I am just blown away. This woman is just so cool. And could you imagine what's going to happen the first time she shows up on the floor of the House?
Yeah.
Because they can't take her job from her. They literally cannot.
I would never have thought that with the injuries that she could have even come back half this far. It's just unbelievable. The surgeons, obviously, she's got just a constitution of a bull.
Yeah, and all she's got to do is be able to stand up there and say, my name is Gabby Gifford, and I'm running for Congress. And she walks in with probably a 50-point spread.
You reckon even the right-wingers down there would back her?
After what's happened, you better believe it.
Okay, fair enough. I have to say my belief in some people to do the right thing is really lacking these days.
It's not a matter of doing the right thing. It's a matter of, she's this tiny, tiny little woman. And this guy walked up and he put a bullet in her brain. just her story. And then she's going to, all she has to do is be able to say her name. To prove that she can do her job. That's all she wrote.
It's just incredible. I'm virtually speechless.
Whether she runs or not for re-election doesn't matter. I'm just so tickled to death I can't see straight. I had never heard of her.
Nor had I. And you know, David and I were having a chat in the chat room before the show. And, you know, we're talking about how unbelievably strong Gabby is. Well, how about the total friggin' wuss, Jim Webb? Have you heard he's not running again because it's all, like, too hard?
Yeah.
What a
push. He apparently figures he's getting too old or some such.
Too old? Too old?
Yeah, it's his 65th birthday today.
Poor fucking baby. And as David said earlier, you know, he's been a little Reaganite, you know, and David said something along the lines of the party should go and take his, you know, his spa card is, you know, every bit of Democratic Party whatever from him. You're not part of this party anymore. And as far as I'm concerned,
that move makes him
a Democratic Palin.
Yeah. I get the feeling that the people like him looked around and noticed the only ones who went down were the ones who were like Blanche Lincoln, who tried to be like Republicans. The ones who were rabid Democrats, like my congressman, who is a raving liberal of the first order, the entire Oregon delegation got sent back by huge margin.
Yep.
Because they are what they are.
And this ends up being portrayed as Democrats being decimated in the election reporting, as opposed to reporting it for what it is. The very, very right-wing Democrats got defeated, and the ones that are more true to their party got in strongly. So, you know, that might be too much nuance for some people. But, you know, Jim Webb, for all that some of the good talk that he, you know, labor issues and whatnot, sorry, this is just a complete, just
he
giving
didn't
up.
Come through.
He didn't come through. Completely hollow. Completely hollow. And I backed him when he first came in because, you know, he was talking some good stuff about labor and things about, and he was talking about climate change and agriculture. That was one of the things that I really looked to him to make some real inroads. That seems to have just completely vanished. So, you know.
Yeah, it's just gone.
Yeah.
So I figure he he'll drop out. It sounds like they're trying to get Kane to run, and I sincerely hope Kane says nothing doing like he has been, because Kane is another Webb.
Right. Right.
I want the Virginia equivalent of Dennis Kucinich in there.
It'd be good. It'd be good. I'm trying to remember who's the right winger that ran against him last time.
Alan.
Yeah. Like David was saying, they probably had a big high five in their office today.
Yeah, he's running definitely.
Yeah, he will be. All right, Susan, I'm going to take a little break and come back. I've actually gotten an update on the Representative Lee story that I started right before you rang in. So I'm going to take a little break, check on that, and come back and get into that, because this one's hilarious. It seems as though Mr. Lee has just resigned. So we'll come back to that in a minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
So we'll come back to that in a minute. Thank you very much, Susan, for everything you do.
Wasn't half bad.
Huh?
The picture wasn't half bad.
You take care of yourself, Susan. Thanks for everything.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was, of course, the one and only Susan over there in Oregon. And for Jim Webb, this one's for you. Suggested by David from Maine, Billy Joel in Allentown. You're listening to Head On with Bob Kincaid. I'm John Fox, sitting in for the one and only. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network. Get on the phone! We'll be back.
Well, we're living here in Allentown, and they're closing all the factories down. Out in Bethlehem, they're filling time, filling our forms, standing in line. But our fathers fought the Second World War, spent their weekends on the Jersey Shore. Then our mothers of the USO lost in the dance, that's with the soul. We're living here in Allentown, but the restlessness was handed down, and it's catching very hard to stand.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. I am John Fox, your fill-in host for the next couple of days. The great AC/DC Bond! We're coming from Australia, folks. You're going to get a lot of Australian music. And if you were listening at the before the show started, that was the mighty late, great Billy Thorpe. Anyway, you can't go wrong with a bit of Bon Scott. Rock and roll damnation. This is something that the Australians just do so well. Straight up rock and roll. It's just so awesome. Whether it's AC/DC or the Angels or any of them, man. Okay, Jug of Punch has just posted about where I'm going. Now, before Susan rang in earlier, I was telling you about the exploits of one Congressman Christopher Lee. Trolling Craigslist. Now, he's resigned. I'll get to the resignation thing in just a second, but I got to finish the backup. So hold on with the phone calls for a second. We'll go back. So he wrote a piece a couple of years ago warning people about, you know, watch your online security, you know, pictures can be transmitted so easily, blah, 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 blah. So, Mr. Lee is a married Republican congressman serving the 26th District of New York, but when he trolls Craigslist Women Seeking Men Forum, he's Christopher Lee, divorce lobbyist and fit, fun, classy guy. One object of his flirtation told us her story. On the morning of Friday, January 14th, a single 34-year-old woman put an ad in the Women for Men section of Craigslist Personals. Well, someone proved to me that not all Christian-leaning men look like toads. She asked inviting financially and emotionally secure men to reply. If you're looking for a conservative and looking for emotionally secure, you're going to be looking a long time, dear. That afternoon, a man named Christopher Lee replied. He used a Gmail account that Representative Christopher Lee has since confirmed to be his own. It's the same Gmail account that was associated with Lee's personal Facebook account, which the congressman deleted when we started asking questions. By email, Lee identified himself as a 39-year-old divorced lobbyist and sent a PG picture to this woman from the ad. In fact, Lee is married and has one son with his wife. He's also 46. It got worse when the congressman sent a topless photo of himself, but before the story could spiral further, the woman Lee was apparently pursuing cut off communication. She realized he was lying about his age and occupation. For his part, Lee has a defense. The married conservative claims his email account was hacked and his office has a January 21 email from the congressman to his staff noting the security breach. That might be more compelling if the emails in question hadn't been sent a week before the hack. For that matter, it wouldn't explain how the hacker managed to obtain a topless photo of the congressman, apparently taken by the congressman himself, or why the hacker might try to use the account to pick up a woman through Craigslist. This seems to be the kind of story that could have some legs, and it obviously has, because the little bastards resigned. There are, however, two related angles to consider. The first is that this is yet another test for the GOP caucus's zero-tolerance policy. Remember, before the midterm elections, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor vowed that Republicans would institute a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to lawmakers and ethical transgressions once they were a GOP majority. Yeah, that lasted until they became the majority. The party has apparently decided this doesn't apply. And doesn't apply to David Rivera's criminal scandals. Will it apply to Christopher Lee? Now, then the update comes in. Thank you, Gene. From the City Room section of the New York Times, Representative Chris Lee of New York, caught in the midst of a scandal involving a shirtless photo he reportedly sent to a woman on the internet, has stepped down, according to a senior congressional official. Mr. Lee, a Republican, notified the Republican Speaker of the House of his decision in a letter he sent this afternoon after the scandal erupted. Mr. Lee's office released a statement late Wednesday in which he asked for forgiveness. Oh, always that. I regret the harm that my actions have caused my family. Wait, I shouldn't be doing that in a Bill Clinton-type voice. Sorry, that just kind of happened. My staff and my constituency said, I deeply and sincerely apologize to them all. I have made profound mistakes, and I promise to work hard as I can to seek their forgiveness. Mr. Lee won his district located in the Western New York region in 2008, where he ran in place of Thomas Reynolds, who announced his retirement. Last year, another New York Congresswoman, Eric J. Massa, a Democrat, resigned amid accusations he had groped a male aide. Mr. Lee's decision to step down came after a photo of him without a shirt appeared on Gawker, along with email exchanges that reportedly took place between him and a woman who had personal notice on the Women Seeking Men in Craigslist. The hilarity here is the piece 2 years ago. That's the hilarity. He shouldn't have written the piece. He should have changed his behavior. It's hilarious. Oh, my God, and they have the picture up. What a tosspot! And, oh, if you see this picture, if you see this photo, it's over at Gawker. Oh, jeez. I might get sick on my microphone. And he's doing the bicep flex, but his hand makes him look like he's jerking off. Wonder if that's what he did for, what he did, thought that was his job. Bloody hell. A fit, fun, classy guy. Yeah, real classy, man. Real classy. Trolling singles forums as a married man. Nice. And, you know, the right-wingers would be like, oh, you're picking at him. His personal life. But as we say time and time again, I don't associate myself with a party that preaches false morality and then acts like a human being. You know? And you become a hypocrite when you're out there telling people that you're better than you are. pretty much a scumbag. Pretty much a scumbag. I'm a lobbyist. I wonder how many... Hey, watch, this will keep going. Yeah, Lottie, at least he didn't send his Willie Johnson around the net. Yeah. But his Willie Johnson was searching the net, wasn't it? Anyway. I just love when these idiots just step in their own hypocrisy. It's hilarious. It's really hilarious. What are you going to do? All right. Anyway, by the way, getting away from that, by the way, before we get to the top of the hour, you got to go to CassieAtCollege.com. She's got some news from Princeton. Princeton is going solar. That's right. Princeton is going solar. She says they're going solar, but maybe it's only because they haven't invented slush power yet. I guess Cassie's having a bit of an adjustment phase through the weather over there. By the way, hi, Cassie, if you're listening. Princeton University will become a leader in American higher education in solar energy when it installs a 5.3-megawatt solar collector field on 27 acres it owns in West Windsor Township. The system, comprising of 16,500 photovoltaic panels, is expected to be one of the largest single installations at a U.S. college or university. About 80% of the new solar power systems being installed on Princeton University property will be composed of sun-powered TO trackers, which use global positioning system to track the sun each day to maximize energy capture. Very, 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 very cool. That is really, really cool. And with the way higher education is, you know, for funds and whatnot in some areas, this is probably great. It should be huge savings. 5.3 megawatts. That's a hell of a lot of power. That's a lot. That's really good. So good on Princeton and good on Cassie. We'll keep an eye on your blog, and that's CassieAtCollege.com. Let's see. We got do some lightweight stuff here. Okay. This is prayer meeting stuff. Okay, I'll do this before going to the break, and then y'all can start ringing in and giving your input to things. And like I said, the toll-free number may not be fully ported over yet. Give it a go. If it comes up invalid, try my direct number, which is 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811. 11, and because, as I mentioned before, we just ported the number over to me. It may not have happened for today's show. Should be all good for tomorrow. So it's one of those we have to kind of poke it once in a while and see what's going on. But in the prayer meeting column, or pile, or shit can. Now, this probably won't get anywhere, but we keep seeing this crap, and I'm really getting tired of it. New Mexico bill seeks to protect anti-science education. Why do we continue to protect the stupid? You know, it's this concept of, like, when Oberman had to pull worst persons because the idiots couldn't get the joke, so we have to rewrite the joke for the people that don't get it. I'm finished rewriting jokes for the ignorant. I'm not going to do it. Let's go to the phones. Welcome to Head On. Who do we have? Hello? 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 I don't know what's going on there. Caller? Try us again. Try us one more time. Not sure what happened there. Anyway, I'll pick up here. This is from Wired.com. Oh, we'll try this again. Welcome to Head On. Who we got? Hello? 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 I'm going to reboot the phone system. Just in case it's me. So just hang tight with that. I'm gonna cover this story real quick. Just hang on tight. I'm going to reboot the phones during the break and see if we can get that sorted out. Sorry about that. Anyway, we got about 4 minutes. If educators in New Mexico want to teach evolution or climate change as a controversial scientific topic, a new bill seeks to protect them from punishment. So if you want to teach science, they're giving an out for people to say that this is science, this is stuff that's been shown in practice to be true, but it's controversial. House Bill 302, as it's called, states that public school teachers who want to teach scientific weaknesses about controversial scientific topics, including evolution, climate change, human cloning, and ambiguously other scientific topics, may do so without fear or reprimand. Legislation was introduced to a New Mexico House of Representatives on February 1st by Rep. Thomas A. Anderson. Supporters of science education say this and other bills are designed to spook teachers who want to teach legitimate science and protect other teachers who may already be customizing their curricula with anti-science lesson plans. How can you teach science? How can you be a science teacher and teach an anti-science lesson plan? Pardon me? Holy crap! So, I mean, we've only had this happen. What is it? Was it Alabama or somebody that passed one of these? Louisiana adopted one of these laws, you know. Question comes up on the test. Kid says, Jeebus did it! You can't mark them wrong. This is not doing very well by our young people. It's incredible. Anyway, so, these bills say, we're just protecting the rights of teachers, which on the face isn't wrong, but they draw big red circles around topics like evolution and climate change and as topics to be wary about, says Joshua Rosenau, a policy and projects director at the National Center of Science Education. It suggests this kind of science is controversial, but would protect teachers who want to teach anti-evolution and climate change denying lessons in classrooms. It's one of five already introduced to state legislatures this year. More than 30 of these bills have been introduced since 2004, and only the one in Louisiana has ever passed. Probably will never see the light of day. But it's just, and see, this is the again, opposite world. Comes to virtually everything, right? As Rosenau says here, these bills are written in such a way as voting nay on them looks bad. Legislators may vote yes to maintain an agreeable voting record, but they often find ways to kill them procedurally. So this is just going to end up wasting more time and money on nothing instead of actually doing the work of the people. And Anderson wouldn't return any emails or phone calls to Wired to make comments. Because when challenged, he'll be like, God did it. No, it's all God. It's all God. Tide's God. I listen to Bill O'Reilly. The moon doesn't make the tides. God does. What a freaking idiot. Okay, folks, I am going to do it one more time. Make the call for donations, folks. This is a listener-supported network. We are very, very, very much down on the month of February. And we really, 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 really need to get the bills paid because this is, you know, if you want us to be here, and, you know, it's not like threats or anything, but it can be. It's looking a bit tight this month, so I haven't had a chance to go and check the old PayPal account. I will during the break, but I'm going to reboot the phones and see if maybe we got this 800 number working or whatever. Sorry, whoever it was that was ringing in before, give me a minute. When we come back, I'll hopefully have the phones rebooted and sorted out, and we'll get on it. So maybe that confusion that we were having there where I couldn't hear you and you couldn't hear me, maybe that was part of the porting over of the 800 number. I'm hoping. I'm guessing. But here you go. I know that this is kind of a favorite with some folks from my old show. And I happen to know one person in particular who unfortunately doesn't hang out with us much anymore, but this was one of her favorite songs that I ever played. An American who has called Australia home on and off over the last few years, Ben Folds 5, and Song for the Dumped. Whoa. You're listening to Head On with Bob Kincaid on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Hour 2 of Head-On with Bob Kincaid. I am John Fox, coming to you from the beautiful land down under, the great brown land, Australia. The Central Coast, it's a nice day out. Sun's just starting to poke through the clouds. Had a bit of rain this morning, which is always nice because the birds go absolutely crazy singing. It's like, wow, close my eyes, I live in a rainforest. It's awesome. Anyway, folks, welcome back to Head On. Hopefully the phone thing may be sorted out now. It seems as though just the sound card on my that I use for the phones decided to just kind of like crash out for some reason. So, if someone wants to give a ring and have a go and see how we go, I apologize for that. It's working fine before. Let's see how we go here. And I'm kind of seeing stuff. And is this David?
Yes, it is.
Woohoo! We fixed it. How you going, buddy?
Well, going good. Going good.
I haven't gotten to the big Saudi story that you sent me.
Yeah. I do have to say the news that they just broke on TPM and it's going across Politico and everywhere. The White House is moving to cut the energy for the poor.
I saw that.
That's not good.
Nope.
They're not going to save any. They're not saving anything. They're not even saving pennies on that. So why even bother?
Yeah, absolutely. It's. Hold on a second. I've got someone else ringing in, David. Now, just hold on a second. Let me see if I can put you on hold, put him on hold, and come back to you.
All right. Let's do that.
Hang on a minute. All right. Let's see if we can do this. All right. Welcome to Head On. Who we got?
Hey, John. It's Jim.
Hey, Jim, I've got David on the other line. If you can hang on for a second, I'll come to you in just a minute.
No problem. I was just playing.
Tight. All right, David. Shoot. We're back.
Well,
I mean, this idea of cutting fuel subsidies for the poor. This is for home heating oil and things like that. So we're just going to let more and more elderly people die during the winter. Is this a roundabout way of cutting other budgets? Hello? Oh, we lost everybody. What the hell's going on here? What a pain in the ass. Very strange. Very, very strange. Okay, let me try this. Who we got? Is this
Yeah, it's me again.
Hey,
hold
man. On. No, that's all right. No, no, no. You're all right. For some reason, both lines dumped. So David's going to hang out for a minute, and we're going to you. Jim, how are you, man? Welcome to the program.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. This was just a little confusing. It's all been kind of working beautifully for
no
a while.
No problem.
But, you know, shit happens. So.
Hey, listen, we're not on the air, are we?
Oh, yeah, you are.
Okay. I spoke to Boss Man Wayne today.
Oh, yeah? Any updates?
Good. Working real hard.
Right. So, Boss Man Wayne, because I know he's not been well.
Well, he's got a few challenges, but he's doing fine. It sounded great.
Good. It's really, really good to hear. Because I haven't mentioned any detail about it because I haven't actually gotten any notification from the family on how much detail I can let out about what's going on. I've just told people.
Just real positive. That's all I wanted to say.
Excellent, excellent. No, that's fantastic to hear because, well, I mean, you know, this network wouldn't even exist if it hadn't been for Wayne in the early days. So,
listen, one comment pursuant to the congressman trolling on Craigslist.
I thought you might have something to say about that, Jim.
Well, you know what they say, John. A thing of beauty is a joyful sunrise.
I'm trying to exactly figure out what you mean by that, Jim.
You're a man of the world. I don't think you need any explanation about that.
I was trying to sucker you in, but I'm obviously not going to win on that. But I think it's hilarious that 2 years ago, obviously, you know, the guy had a twinge that he might be at risk and writes this piece telling everybody else to be careful about what they sign up for and this and that, and then he gets done on Craigslist.
Well, I just wonder what bridge he guards.
I'm wondering what?
What bridge he sits under and guards.
It's so pathetic. It really is pathetic. But, Ed, you know, he's done the step-down thing, which I guess you'd have to do. But, you know, in a proper world, Jim, this stuff really shouldn't matter.
I know. When I saw that, I just said, well, you know, I wish I had my old bong with the stirrups in it.
You know, just this stuff shouldn't matter if people actually, you know, represented the people and did their jobs and didn't profess some high morality and then not actually, you know, abide by what they preach. It's the hypocrisy.
That's the kicker right there. I mean, you've got these guardians of public trust and guardians of so-called public morality, and then they're on there trolling for whatever, you know, with a cyber net, literally a cyber net thrown in the water. Golly knows what they're going to pull up, but I don't know. That's just absolutely kind of, well, I wasn't surprised, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I it's one of these things to have, you know, we have a little bit of fun with it just because it's the hypocrisy. It always comes down, it's not actually the action, usually. It's the hypocrisy. And obviously this guy wrote this piece a couple of years ago having this, you know, obviously a twinge of, oh, crap, I could be, you know, at risk here. But obviously it didn't freak him out enough to change the activity that was putting him at risk. So that kind of qualifies him possibly as being slightly insane.
I'll tell you one more thing. I'll let you go. I know you have callers who want to get in there. I saw Joy Behar do an interview with Ted Haggard.
Oh, that might have been interesting.
Well, apparently Ted has taken the Anita Bryant course called Be a Homo Nomo.
Oh, right. Oh, well, I mean, the Crystal Methodist, okay, this guy, he's like just one of the biggest walking jokes I've ever seen. And, you know, you just look at the guy, and it's like, yeah, I can see him doing coke or crystal meth in a gay club. Sorry, just going
to
say.
Well, John, I hate to say this, but I just as soon have a rendezvous with a goat.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that I want to be there, but...
No, but like I say, when I saw that, I said,
The lady doth protest.
Oh, well.
The lady doth protest too much. That's always my, you know, he's doing the you know, oh, that was just me sinning in the devil. You know, none of these people take responsibility for anything or accept the reality of who they are. That's what I find to be truly tragic about someone like Ted Haggard. Because
you could probably have so many of these so-called right-wing and other types of people who simply pretend to be something and they aren't that at all. And then, you know, if they are, just go out and say it. But to try to cover it up and to say, you know, well, I took a course and I'm cured. And I thought to myself, who in the hell do you think you're fooling, you idiot?
It's like I got a degree in not being gay. It makes no sense. And the whole concept, I mean, and the dangerous concept that he's actually promoting there, that you can supposedly be cured of the gay, which is just insane to begin with, because it's not like it's a virus. It's someone's personal programming. It's inherent in who they are. And the idea, I find that whole idea of, like, I've been cured of the gay so insulting to so many wonderful people that I know.
Well, a lot of people are fooled by that, but, I mean, I think it's pretty much hardwired in. I know on one of the channels here called Logo, they had a... a hard pill in which they supposed to give people chemicals in order to make them change their sexual orientation. And I was just thinking, my God. That was...
Yeah, sorry, Jim, your line was dropping out there a little bit. I don't know if that's just if you're on an internet phone or...
I'm going to let you get back to your caller.
Yeah, but... you're all right, man. I just I hate when those gaps pop up. It's just so frustrating. But look.
But just remember, a thing of joy is a beauty till sunrise.
You're a classic, Jim. Thanks for calling in, buddy, and maybe we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You take care. Good night.
All right, buddy. Jim. He can be such a naughty boy. okay. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call someone myself. Just because I can. Here in a minute to try and save a couple of issues. And because I want to get David from Maine on here. I do want to talk about... I want to talk about this... fuel subsidy for the poor. And the other thing that David turned me on to is some WikiLeaks that came out about peak oil and Saudi Arabia earlier today, which actually should be the number one story right now. Maybe aside from Egypt. But... yeah, there's some crazy stuff going on. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a tune on. I'm going to connect with someone. And actually, I'll be connecting with David from Maine here in a minute, just because we're going to do it that way. And so for the moment, we'll do this. A little perfect circle.
From the human nation. option. It's your choice. Your choice. Your choice. Your choice. Peace or annihilation.
It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people for today. Imagine there's no country. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die.
Everybody, welcome back. A little Perfect Circle break there for the moment, and we go to the phones, and we've got David from Maine. How you going, buddy?
Doing good, doing good.
All right, man, you sent me two things today, and we started this before, one being the cut in subsidies for the homeless, or not the homeless, for the poor, for heating oil and whatnot.
Yeah.
This was over at Raw Story, correct? That you found that?
Right. And it's it's circulating through the web, like Politico, Talking Points memo, you know, the usual places.
Yeah. Why? I never understand why these things come up as the things to cut. You know.
Well.
It's got to be small time. We got to be talking some small time money in the grand scheme of things.
I agree with you, and I think I like using this saying, but when you say you want to cut something, and for example, I visited and I'm going to give you an example of what this means, literally, people. When you say I'm going to cut this, okay. When you say you're going to cut the military bases, Maine got the cut for their Brunswick Naval Air Base. It's the only base in the Northeast. Now here's the point. This is where the genie of unintended consequences comes to visit you people. Now people who want to cut the military, that's great. But here's what happens. That whole base, and let me tell you, John, as I was rolling through it, all the houses were vacant. Every single house, and my dad said to me, you know, you could, and we were just as buildings. But you know what's going to happen? It's already on the block for private corporations, and they're going to swoop it right up.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I think in the UK they've been trying to change the squatter laws because of this.
Well, that's part of the problem is that most people don't understand that when this stuff goes up on the chopping block. And then it goes into private hands. It's better to have it. It's better to be government owned than to go to private hands. Because what's going to happen is they're going to F up the town. And whatever they decide to do, everything. See, that's the problem with all of these. When you have these budget cuts and you go through them, you don't understand the consequences on the ground, whatever it is. And now that we live in a corporate world, this is the world that we're going to be dealing with. So, you know, in a lot of circumstances, it's best to just keep things in government's hands. And I don't know. I mean, the whole thing about I've always said this, and it may tick off some people, but I don't really think the Democrats really understand the poor. And what I'm saying is the Democrats in Washington, they don't understand the poor. Maybe districts that are now poor.
Absolutely.
That were once before middle class. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but I'll tell you this. This segregation we have of society, of how we treat people who have less than us to be more inferior, it's a serious problem. It's epidemic.
It is.
And it's growing worse and worse every day.
It is.
And I don't think there is a, like I say, there's not solutions for these things. There's only temporary fixes.
Well, and one of the things that you know, over in the U.S. and in a lot of places, there's all these empty foreclosed properties
mm-hmm.
that no one can buy. And in fact, you know, there being some real estate agents and whatnot who end up with having control of these properties just end up demoing them because it's cheaper than going and cutting the grass and keeping the place tidy to try and
right.
sell it. But we have this massive homelessness problem. So we have empty homes that no one can buy.
Yeah.
We have a whole bunch of homeless people. And there's something here that can be done, David, you know?
Yeah.
There's something
yeah.
very easy that could be done, you know, if say we had actually some sort of public housing administration that had any kind of teeth, had any kind of power, because this would be a great opportunity. It's like, okay, you can't sell it on the open market, fine. We're going to buy it cheap to keep it as housing. Because once you demolish the house and put it up on the private market, like you're saying, it's either going
right.
to go to some corporate or there's going to be some McMansion that no one can buy built on it so someone can write some big tax loss off on. And, you know, in the UK, they've got some pretty serious squatters' rights there. You know, you occupy an empty place for, I think it's a year or something. It's yours.
Wow.
Right? It's something like that. Gail, come in
if
here.
Only that was, if only the United States was like that.
You know, it's like if you, you know, and you know, how many properties around the United States, just as an example, I mean, it'd be happening here, have owners, you know, rental properties that are probably now empty because people could, you know, out of work, can't pay the rent, whatever, where the owners of these properties live overseas and have, like, no idea. You know, and for them it's just like some thing over there. And it's you know, like what you want to talk to them about, you know, doing something with the property. They're like gone, you know. And how many properties out there are just doing nothing, which could house people? I mean, I guess this is the point that I'm trying to make is the bean counters say, tear it down, sell it.
Right.
But that just pulls what's already limited affordable housing out of the marketplace.
Well, you know, the thing about that is that when you look into the situation where people are telling you to privatize land, I mean, you want to talk about wasteful spending. When all of our land is privatized in this country, we'll probably have a world record for wasteful spending.
Oh yeah.
And you know the whole thing about it is that well we need to I would like to see a type of rebuilding of America program. It would be pretty extensive, and it would never get off the ground as far as in terms of the the extensiveness of all across the country. But, you know, that's what needs to be done. And a lot of these houses and a lot of these buildings and, you know, everyone should have some place to live if they're walking around, in my opinion.
So I completely agree. And I have real problems with just the concept of property ownership. You know, like on a fundamental level, you know, I can see owning property rights to use, but the idea of actually owning a piece of the planet, you know, Native American cultures had real problems with this concept too.
Right.
And that the land is community property. It's everyone's property. You know, that it's not private property, you know, I guess some would say, well, you know, if it's everybody's property, it means that anybody can come walking through your home at any time. No, that's not what it means.
Well, you know, I think it's to feel more secure when someone says, you own this, and it's something that is yours for the time being that you're here, but really, I always say nobody owns anything. We all just go into the ether eventually, and it's all just left here. The monoliths that we built, they're just left here.
Yep. And what's the point of it all?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, and it makes you wonder about how much Americans do. Or people in general do care about the poor and why the emphasis isn't pushed on it in a way where we can better that class. Of course, there's not going to be a solution to it. But again, you know, to raise the standard, that's something that I think that it needs to be done, because the fact is that we regress as a society if we don't take care of the less fortunate. And you know, that's a cliche statement, but it always...
It's true.
But that's reality.
It is. It is reality. And where I live is such a great example of it. I mean, with what we're going through at the moment, and we've got about as twisted an opposition leader as Boehner here. Tony Abbott.
I top you with LePage. I top you. I top you with LePage.
This one's pretty good. This one's pretty good. Tony Abbott was being interviewed the other day, and some footage of him on a trip to Afghanistan came up, right? And the footage, he was with the American commander of Australian forces in Afghanistan, where an Australian had been actually killed by one of our own. Right. And
yeah.
He's over there and the commander was tactfully basically kind of taking some responsibility for it and showing all the gear that they have and how the mission didn't run as planned. And this is a horrible tragedy. Abbott turns around and very coldly says, well, sometimes shit happens. Dead soldiers, sometimes shit happens. So then he's confronted.
Yeah.
Then he's confronted by a guy from Channel 7 News, which is even one of the corporate stations here. And for over 1 minute, Tony Abbott stood there silent, giving this reporter a death stare, like, how dare you corner me on this? And his only response was, you're taking me out of context, classic response, and this is the classic, I have given you the response you deserve.
He sounds related right to our governor LePage. Wow, they might be distant cousins.
Well, I was always thinking that the hilarity would be, like, you know, if that party had continued in power after Howard, there was a chance we could have had the Abbott and Costello government.
Now that would have been good.
And now I think the only reason that didn't happen was, one, people can't stand Costello because he thinks he's a dick, and I think just everyone probably did the math. we're not going to be looked on real well if our prime minister and deputy are Abbott and Costello. Sorry, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, that's definitely not going
to. And this guy too, you know, like I was saying, how you're saying how we have to take care of the least among us, or the less fortunate. And with all the stuff that we got going on here, you know, floods, cyclones, bushfires, you know, heat waves, it just goes on and on. Our Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, no matter how much I hate how she got into power with the dumping of Rudd, she's doing the right thing. They're going to put a 1.5% levy on everybody's taxes to help pay for the reconstruction of all these areas. And pretty much the Australian people, when these things happen, we've done this before, they go, yeah, fine. That's cool. No one really complains. Well,
right.
Now we have the budget hawks here now. And Abbott and his mob are sitting there going, it's just another tax and da-da-da-da-da. Like the same language you hear out of Cantor and everybody else. And they're going, how about cutting stimulus funding and cutting this and cutting that? And it's just like, holy crap, when do you people actually do any kind of charity at all? You know, I mean, when do you actually do anything on the ground that's real? And we have this country of 20-some million people. 5% of the, 10-15% of the population's been getting blasted by horrible fucking weather events one after another. And this guy's sitting there going, you know, oh, well, we need to cut this healthcare thing, or we need to cut stuff from here to help these people.
Mm.
And what I love, and this is the big difference between this place and where you are, is the majority of Australia is shouting them down.
Mm.
The people are going, yeah, okay, so if it's a leaky bucket, we understand. Leaky buckets are how it works. But leaky buckets actually help rebuild communities, you know, and it's a huge amount of the economy for this country up there. Mining, sugarcane and banana crops are destroyed. And like sugarcane is a huge export for us too. Queensland is just mad on plantations up there, but they've all been flooded out. You know, right now we're being asked to buy really, really weird looking vegetables at the moment. To help support the farmers, and people are doing it. See, this is this kind of thing that I see as an example where people come together around one another here in ways that I never saw in the United States. And in fact, I see, just like you're saying here, you know, cutting oil subsidies for the poor for heating oil. That's just basically saying, we're going to destine you to die. Just die.
Grayson's statement comes back to life.
Yep. And he was absolutely right. He was absolutely right. And I sometimes think the right wing thinks the more of us they can kill off, the less of us there are to vote against them.
You know what? I wouldn't say you were crazy for saying that. And the other thing I would say, leaders and political leaders in power who are always going gung-ho over taxes, those types of leaders tax us with their presence. So.
Yep. Well, mate, I tell you what, I think I've found the exact song to dovetail this subject. And
I guess we'll have to talk about the Saudi thing tomorrow.
Yeah, well, maybe I will hold on to that till tomorrow, and we can have a bit of a chat about it, because I really think...
Well, maybe there'll be some new information or something
to
add to it.
Yeah, I'll hit on it, but I think it's fairly important, and it's all about peak oil, basically, and that 2012
right.
is it, and the Saudis are accepting this fact, it appears, and it's via WikiLeaks, so we'll get to there, but... I am going to play a tune here. So I've got Open Letter to a Landlord from Living Color. I think that fits this one pretty well.
That one does fit pretty well.
this is one of those songs that virtually almost brings tears to my eyes every time I hear it. This is one of the best lyrics that this band ever did, and it's off the first record. And this is this. I always said when this band first popped up, David, I was going, "Wow, man, this is what all the white hair bands want in a lead singer. They just don't realize it."
Well, you know, before I go, thank God to Mick Jagger for signing them.
Did Mick sign them?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, you know, Mick Jagger, he also signed, I think it was Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, they also signed Peter Tosh. So,
oh, well, good on
you. You know, they've done some good with signing people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The fact that they've always been kind of like a commercially driven thing, that doesn't take away from their history, their catalog, or, you know, the work that they've done with other acts and within the community. I mean, you know, the Stones are who they are, whether or not they nominated themselves as the world's greatest rock and roll band.
And even if Mick Jagger is an econ freak, a free market wizard, whatever he wants to call himself, he still put his foot on the map in terms of art and contributions. So.
Oh yeah, and when I worked on the Voodoo Lounge tour like a decade ago, you know, if Mick's mom was going to come to the show, she'd have to buy a ticket. There were no comps. But this is the other side of it.
Yeah.
They hired 180 crew for 5 days to put the show up, 250 crew for 36 hours for the out. They fully catered 3 meals a day for all of the crew, so we never had to go off site. It was gourmet meals with choices of it was an Australian, a New Zealand caterer. There were one to two vegetarian entrees per meal.
Wow.
Right? So, I mean, they bring a machine, and part of that whole point is, yeah, he's free market, but they employ a shitload of people when they come into town, and they don't cut corners. They're not bean counting, but it's a serious machine. They own most of everything that comes with it. So, you know, yeah, Mick's mom might have to buy a ticket, but that ensures that all the money is in there to put on these huge shows, which I think are too big now, like carbon footprint-wise and all that. I look at some of the stuff that we used to do. Like you two, I find cringeworthy these days. But at the same time, lots of people getting hired.
Well, you know, before I go, I hope I don't put this out in the ether and it comes true, but I'm surprised that Bono hasn't come out and said something about the Egyptian revolutions and taking hold and started talking about how he's going to do benefit concerts or some shit.
The longer he stays underground, for me, the better. I really find him one of the worst hypocrites in entertainment activism. I find him atrocious. I really do. More and more, you know, we live in Jersey, so we don't pay any tax anywhere. I saw the staging for the tour. I had friends that worked on it. And it's just like, wow, man, is there really any point to this? Does it make the music any better or any more interesting? No. And what have you done? You know, it's not like they're going out there and running biodiesel generators or any of that kind of stuff to make even just a showing of. So I've kind of had it with Bono and U2, musically, politically, and otherwise. I really find Bono to be just a.
Yeah, I think if I hear the words U2 or Coldplay anytime in this decade, it'll be too soon. Pretty much. And on that note, I'll talk to you later, John.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Peace.
Bye-bye. And of course, David from Maine. Pop culture correspondent and great supporter of this network and my good friend. This is just too good of a tune to not play. Open letter to a landlord. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Horn, America's Liberal Voice, head on radionetwork.com. Phone line is open. Get in on it.
now you can tear a building down, but you can't erase a memory. These houses may look torn down, but they have a value you can't see.
Crack and blow the life away. Now you can tear a feeling down.
that is just such a genius, genius lyric. Living color, an open letter to a landlord. Okay, Gene just sent me this, and I'm not sure if I should really cover it, because it is from the National Enquirer. However, when it comes to, you know, it was the Enquirer that, you know, got Johnny Edwards. Supposedly the Enquirer has learned that John Boner's in a sex scandal. Really? There's supposed to be a New York Times probe detailing an affair with a 61-year-old married... Oh, wait, sorry. That the 61-year-old married father of two had with a pretty Washington lobbyist, Lizbeth Lyons. The investigation has uncovered a bedroom encounter that Boner, second in line of succession to the presidency, allegedly had with Leah Lamora, a 46-year-old former press secretary to ex-Colorado Congressman Joe Heffley. The Ohio native, a congressman of 20 years, and his wife, Deborah, 62, have been married for 37 years. His wife seems to have been shunned by the Capitol's social scene, and he's often seen out on the town without her. Normally stays back in Ohio, blah, 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 blah. She stood by him, blah, blah, blah. We'll see what happens. Now, that one would just be too much of a gift. We'll see. We'll see. I don't normally like covering things from the Enquirer. I'm not saying that it's real, but keep a look for this New York Times thing. See if this pops up to be something real. Because, I mean, we know what hypocrites they are. You know, Rachel was talking about this the other night, how, you know, all before the election, it's all about, you know, where's the jobs, Obama? Where's the jobs? Now that they're in, they're going, oh, it's not the government's place to create jobs. And, you know, we're going to do all this. We're going to get, and what are they doing? Putting up, you know, reclassifying rape bills and, you know, the job killing, stupid, bullshit, healthcare repeal. And for all the people, all these people that constantly say that, you know, government wastes money and all this, why is it that this side of the aisle will waste so much time and money of ours, the taxpayer, to chase up all this ideological bullshit? Again, the hypocrisy just drives me crazy. You know, these people are just hollow. They're just hollow shells. And it's all talk. And the only action that they take is to tie up the mechanisms of government to keep the people's business from actually being done. And, I don't know, it's more than frustrating. Yeah, and trouble reminds me, you know, they bitch about, you know, gotta cut taxes. The tax rate is as low as it has been since the 50s. Again, opposite world. Speaking a false reality. I just don't get it. But anyway, I'm going to go to the top of the hour break. I'm going to line some things up. Phone line is open. I don't believe the 877 number is working yet. So to ring in, 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811. And I'm going to just keep going on this Living Color vibe. It's another great tune. Which Way to America? You're listening to The Horn. This is Head On with Bob Kincaid. I am John Fox. We'll be back after this. I'm going to go check that PayPal account.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. I am John Fox, your guest host for the evening. And we've got a couple things we're going to get to in a minute, but I'm going to go to the phones here in just a second. My buddy Gene is on hold here at the moment. But there's some fallout finally starting to happen with this whole Huffington Post AOL thing. And the people that built it may just tear it down. In other words, us, the progressive left. But we'll get there in a minute. But I think what we should do first is go straight to the phones. Hey, Gene, how are you, my friend? Welcome.
Hey, John. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I agree. I think they should tear it down. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny because it plays into this larger kind of meme I've been thinking about lately. I mean, I sent you some links last night that I kind of wasn't sure how prayer meeting-y they were.
Yeah,
if that's such a word.
But, you know, I'm not Bob, so I can't carry prayer meeting for 3 hours. So.
This is kind of a prayer meeting story. It's the thing about the, because there's this whole thing about the women priests in the Catholic Church, and the way I read the article, it sounds as though the Catholic Church is making noises that, yeah, they might be willing to let a few women serve as priests and so on and so forth, simply because there's a priest shortage.
Right.
But the author makes the point that, you know, there's a vibrant kind of underground Catholic women's priest movement, and they come up with a whole bunch of interesting ways of doing the Catholicism bit. It's sort of like the iPod app deal, except it's got a flesh and blood component to it. And the thing that gets me, and it's something I've been thinking about lately, is like, we work and we spend our time to get all this stuff to get into to finally get recognized by these folks. And it seems like by the time, you know, when we finally get some headway, it's only because there seems like they're already moved on to something else. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, lots of unfinished business. and never actually finishing anything.
Yeah, and so it's sort of like, you know, I've been having this sounds so freaking unliberal, and I'm so sorry, but I'm always thinking it's like, oh, quit trying to get into the institutions that are already. I'm kind of doing the Christopher Hedges thing. It's like, quit trying to go into the institutions that are there. Just stop and build your own. Because they're never going to let you. The only time they're going to let you in is because they've already moved on out. And so it's like, I get frustrated with that. And, no, it's a debate. I don't know what to say. Cause it's like, I hate the idea in a sense that it almost sounds like a conservative meme, and I hate the idea, but it's like, should we just, you know, build our own liberal institutions and let the other stuff die on the vine?
Okay, so you're kind of on the idea that this move by the Catholic Church is a way of trying to, like, liberalize the view of the church. And your idea is don't try and fix what's there, create something new? Is that?
Well, they've already got something new. The only reason that the Catholic Church is kind of saying, oh, we'll consider this now, is basically because they've got a shortage of male priests.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so the whole deal is, okay, we'll take the women only because we don't have any male priests to fill all our roles. But, I mean, you still have to abide by our rules.
Well,
from
what you're telling me, I take a slightly different stance. Again, similar to the app thing. It's about image manipulation. Let's get more female preachers up there so that people will start to disassociate kitty fiddling with the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and I think they made that point in the article too. But it's like, The internal mechanisms, that was one of the points of the author, I think, was basically the internal mechanism is still pretty much the same. It's still an old boys club. They're just putting a female face on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to my thing about yesterday. I feel like, and the DLC kind of thing, it's like, are they telling us this because we're finally making our own institutions and we'll take your energy and let you spend it over here and it'll all be futile.
Well, I mean, when I saw the DLC folding headline, my thought, the whole Democratic Party has shifted that far to the right that there's no need for this side group.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
I agree with you, but I still think there's another part to this and a whole bunch of other things. It's like we work hard to get the institutions that we built, but they're kind of, it's like the Huffington Post kind of thing. We built this thing, and then it's gotten sold off to somebody else. And I admire the whole bit about the Huffington Post blogger saying, okay, we built this thing, now we're going to take it down.
Yeah.
I think that's the right way to go.
I agree. I just during the break had gone to the Raw story and actually found the Adbusters piece. And the headline is, "The Left Built Huffington and We Can Tear It Down." And I think that this would be fantastic, and I think it would stick it to Ariana.
Yeah.
You know? Because why? I mean, Gene, this is the part that I don't understand. The Huffington Post has been a moneymaker.
Uh-huh.
It has worked, even with, you know, and partially it's worked because they've added some of the celeb shit to get some keyword crap going, and it's obviously helped with the ad turnover. But again, this idea of like, okay, you create something. So the Huffington Post is the original thing she created. That had a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So once she sells it, is that her purpose anymore? Or is the purpose to make money now? It's not actually about,
well,
you know, because I go back to this, I remember a quote from Eddie Van Halen a long time ago when he was going through some pretty testing times, and someone had given him a book, and I think it was something along the lines of The Trail to the Mountain or something like that. It was kind of a philosophy book. And in there was a quote talking about music and just using music as an example. And the line was something like this. If music is your business and it becomes a very, very big business, is music still your business? And I think, so in this same thing, originally the Huffington Post, the business model was a progressive news aggregation site with lots of bloggers and lots of commentary. It's established itself as that. Now she's selling it off to someone where that is not their modus operandi. It's all about dollars. So it's, to me, it's setting up the same kind of idea.
Yeah.
The Huffington Post is no longer about what it was, and I hope that's, you know, I hope that the bloggers, because all these people, Bill Maher and all these other people, blogging for free all these years, I think it's atrocious what she's doing.
Well, I read a related article. I think it's probably there in the stack with you somewhere. About, you know, basically she did the same thing back in the 90s when she was a conservative, and she flipped and started the Huffington Post because she couldn't make the money. So apparently making money is her gig. But I guess it gets back to my point. I mean, the liberal bloggers built the Huffington Post. We put our time, our sweat into these things. And then now it's made money, so she turns it over to basically AOL, which maybe this is unfair, but I'm really feeling like it's like, okay, it's got money, therefore we, the elite that really don't want to do any real work, you know, we'll do our own time-tested crap that we think works all the time, and, you know, we can live off for this for a little bit longer. And, you know, I keep getting the impression that I feel like, you know, like I'm being played for a sucker in a way. Because it's like we work hard at, you know, like building things like Huffington Post or whatever, and then it gets sold off. I mean, basically, liberals have proven that, hey, we can make money. But apparently, really, that doesn't matter. Or it matters, but, you know.
Or it's not enough money.
It doesn't matter.
It becomes not enough money for some reason. Like, I just don't understand this. You know, I could kind of accept it if it wasn't a sell-off to say AOL, but if it was, you know, if she had come up with some sort of, you know, I don't know, content sharing arrangement with one of the big providers, I could kind of accept that a lot more. You know, in other words, they're kind of outgrowing their britches a bit and, you know, could step up into kind of the next level a little bit. But this whole idea of selling off to AOL, and I don't know if you were around for when David was on yesterday talking about how AOL made all their money by overcharging for bloody dial up for all these years in a crap service. And like you said, there are people in this country who don't really understand what working for something is. And they're usually the ones that accuse us of being lazy.
Yeah.
You know, and but yet they've never actually, many of these people have never actually gotten their hands dirty in their lives, have never actually made anything. This is my big thing, is so many people are like, well, you know, well, I do this, which makes money. No, but making money is not making anything.
Yeah, they're really living. They just keep living off the proceeds of everybody else. And it's like, man, if you're gonna go ahead and then what really kills me is that if they're not even it's like they turn around and they diss the people they make money off of. It's like, boy, you're not very smart, are you? I mean, it's crazy, but see, that's sort of the right-wing model. I mean, you know, I feel like they dangle out these prizes like the Catholic Church or like religion in general. Okay, we'll give you all this stuff, and you work to be part of that, so you feel like you're part of the group, and by the time you get there, they've already moved on to something else, and you're just left with, okay.
Yep.
Now what?
Well, yeah, I can almost make a, well, not almost, I can make a very, very, very common music industry type kind of relationship to that. It's classic. Mm-hmm. You know, you have some upcoming band, rah, 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 working really hard, starting to get a bit of a buzz going, and, you know, they end up getting a bit of a crew around them that work for them for either free or cheap because they want to see the band go, they want to see it happen, you know, they're into it. They're there for what it is that they're making. Then, and this happens a lot less now than it used to because the major labels aren't what they used to be, then the band gets picked up by a major label, and the band or the label say, yeah, all those people that helped you out, you got to get rid of them and have ours. And so it's kind of inverse of the same thing. You know, just like all of us that went and patronized the Huffington Post and put into that conversation are suddenly being told, yeah, thanks, now fuck off. Thanks, now comply. And I guarantee, now that AOL is involved, we will never, ever, ever see a headline about net neutrality on the Huffington Post ever again.
Oh, I can bet you, and I kind of even doubt that. I mean, because there's some reaction in other communities, like the, you know, they're talking about paganism and all that jazz, and I bet that's going to get kind of dissed too. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, I don't know if it's such a good idea to go chasing after, you know, these big institutions, and, you know, it's once they recognize, it's like, we'll take the bit that made you money, but, or what we think made you money, but we'll just kind of empty it. We'll take the good part, what we think is the good part, and empty out the show. Anyway, I'm going to let you go so you can talk to somebody else, but I just had to call in about that.
No worries, man. Always fantastic to talk to you. And everybody's been so good about sending me so much stuff over the last couple of days. I just opened that email of the, you know, not sure how prayer meeting-y, and having a bit of a peek at the Catholic female priest thing. And, yeah, man, I just... Sorry, that and the iPhone thing, it all just screams of, like, we'll do anything to get our numbers up. We'll do absolutely anything. So.
Yeah, it does.
What are you going to do, Gene? All right, buddy, thanks for calling, man, and we might even speak to you tomorrow.
All right, take it easy.
All right, man,
bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, now, that, of course, was Gene, the man who reads the Internet before he's finished his morning coffee. before I go back to serious stuff, I think this is hilarious. Thank you, Texas Betsy, for this one. This is from news.com.au. U.S. shop launches offer to trade in guns for sex toys. A shop in the U.S. state of Alabama has launched a Valentine's Day offer it hopes will trigger a large response in a limp economy. Customers can swap their guns for sex toys. In today's economy, this is a way of helping people who may feel they can't afford something for Valentine's Day, said Sherry Williams, the owner of Pleasure's Sex Toy Shop, where assorted erotica during the next week can be obtained in exchange for cast-off firearms. This way, they can take something that's just lying around and swap it for something they can take home and make love, not war with. A video posted on its website said the shop housed in an old bank building in Huntsville is trading guns off the street for fun between the sheets. I love it. As soon as Pleasures opened its doors on Tuesday, a customer came in and exchanged an Ivor Johnson revolver for a $40 gift certificate to be spent in the shop, which stocks everything from steamy videos to naughty negligees. The gun was inspected by licensed gun dealer and gunsmith David Smith, who happens to be Williams's husband. Guns can be exchanged at the at Pleasures from Tuesday until February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day. Firearms found to have been stolen or used in crime will be handed over to the police, while others will be auctioned off with proceeds going to victims of gun violence, said Williams, who said she is not looking to make money out of the deal. I'm in it to help people enjoy Valentine's Day in a tough economy, she said. I'm also in it to get guns off the street, to take them out of the hands of people who would potentially do harm with them and put them in the hands of collectors. Williams conceded that guns could be resold at auction, in which case they might end up back in the streets, but said the effort is still worthwhile. We might just change one person's mind, she said. You never know. Maybe there will be someone who says, I got this gun and I could go rob a liquor store with it, or maybe I can get me a blow-up doll for Valentine's Day instead. Fantastic. I love it. Yeah.
Is that a gun in your pocket, or you're just happy to see me?
Oh, boy. Touching on what Gene and I were talking about with the Huffington Post thing, and this is a big deal. You know, the Huffington Post has been, you know, kind of the biggest hub, and like I said to David yesterday, one of the things that I liked about the Huffington Post is that they actually had people watching the international media. And international news broke, it would still make it up at the top of the page. And that was good. It's a look outside the United States, which there's very little of that goes on within America, unfortunately. You know, still got a population that is so insular, they're like, oh, we be the world. We are the world. There ain't nobody else. But from Raw Story here, Adbusters magazine set out to unite those disaffected former supporters of Huffington's flagship site by suggesting they use social media to promote alternatives. Socialite Arianna Huffington built a blog empire on the backs of thousands of citizen journalists, a post at Adbusters begins. She exploited our idealism and let us labor under the illusion that the Huffington Post was different, independent, and leftist. Now she's cashed in, and 3,000 indie bloggers find themselves working for a megacorp. But the Huffington Post is not our Arianna's to sell. It's ours, the lefty writers and the readers, environmentalism activists, and anti-corporate organizers who flood the site with 25 million visits a month. So we're going to take it back. We'll stop going to her site. We'll stop blogging for her, too. Then we'll give birth to an alternative to AOL's HuffPo by using the hashtag HuffPuff to tell the world about our favorite counterculture websites and indie blogs. So there you go. The hashtag, if you want to get involved in this, is HuffPuff, HuffPuff. I like it. We are the ones who built the Huffington Post, and now we will be the ones who will huff and puff it down, Adbusters concluded. A quick search of the social network Twitter indicated that the hashtag HuffPuff was already being used to propose alternatives. My favorite at HuffPost alternative is at the real news. Join the HuffPuff boycott, says one. Another says try at their real news, truthoutbuzzflashfatcheck.org, narco news. Actually, Al from Al Giordano, publisher of Narco News, pledged to no longer provide content to the Huffington Post. As long as I live and breathe, this online newspaper, Narco News and its pages, will never be sold to a profit-making venture, he wrote. Somebody has to set a higher standard around this water cooler called the Internet. Arianna Huffington's new role as editor-in-chief of AOL sites has also caused some conservative bloggers to take their business elsewhere. Matt Lewis announced Tuesday that he was leaving AOL's Politics Daily for the Daily Caller. A conservative, albeit an immediately iconoclastic one, it is vital that I maintain the freedom to call them as I see them, he wrote. An informal survey of 500 Huffington Post commenters conducted by the Daily Beast found that 81% opposed the acquisition, while only 19% expressed some optimism about it. I bet those 19% are the trolls. I'd put money on it. That 19% are the trolls. We made HuffPost and we are being abandoned, one commenter wrote. We will aim for the center. That's where the big money is. Arianna Huffington, the Huffington Post co-founder and editor-in-chief, has been trying to downplay the importance of partisan politics after the announcement. We don't see ourselves as left, which is complete and utter bullshit. That is complete and utter bullshit. She came out, this was a progressive left site. That is a complete flip-flop and total bullshit. And actually saying it on Politico and not even her own website. You know, and to be left is to be balanced and fair. Is to look at things factually. It's all going to change. It's all going to change. And all you have to do is look at the comments, and everybody's just like, no. Not doing it, not doing it, not doing it. I've been there only twice via links that I've been sent. And from now on, I guess anytime I'm sent a HuffPo link, I'm going to have to trace it back to the original publisher. She's blown it. She's absolutely blown it. In a way that I shouldn't be surprised. Some people have been warning about this for a while. Ever since all the, you know, pop culture stuff, you know, keyword crap to try and drive advertising revenue. Now, I understand trying to get advertising revenue. I really, really do. But I don't know. Why is it that once anything that has any kind of anything left of center, once it gets power, man, it moves. Yeah, and there was a lot of censorship on topics. Sometimes some of the claims of censorship in the comment threads I took as complete bullshit, too. Because, I mean, with the traffic that a site like that gets, no matter how many mods you have, it can take a while to get things approved. And, you know, I mean, I run websites, too, and if comments are flying in, sometimes you can't approve them fast enough, and things somehow get pushed down the queue. But, yeah. You know, it's just kind of, it's all over for the Huffington Post. It just is. So, anyway, let's gonna take one last break before we head out of here. And I'm doing some Australian music, and James Rain was on a television show here last night playing the song. This is an old song from a band called Dragon. Great bands here from Australia. They've got kind of a new lineup. The singer passed away a long time ago. Things have shifted in and out. But in the late 70s and through the 80s, this is probably one of the biggest bands that Australia ever produced. And I reckon that this is just one of the coolest songs ever. And this one's, I don't know, Bob's on vacation, right? Been going through, you know, he's got to be around Cuba somewhere. So here you go, Bob, this one's for you. April Sun in Cuba from Australia's Dragon. You'll listen to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. Please hit that PayPal button, people. You got to pay the bills. We'll be right back. Phone line is open. Get on it. 304-574-7811. 304-574-7811. We'll see you in a bit.
I'm tired of a city life. Summer's on the run. People tell me I should stay.
Oh, sorry, hold on. A little behind the eight ball there. I was having to run around. It's really, really, really warm in the studio today, so I've been taking a couple of little extra breaks because it's just getting kind of muggy and a little hard to deal with. But we'll make it. So that's, you know, the little bits of extra music have just been for me to run outside and get a bit of air. It's just, I guess it was just the early rains, and now the sun's kind of trying to come out, and it's just really a bit rough. So, David and I will be talking about this a little bit more tomorrow, but I do want to get to this before we go away, kind of a setup for tomorrow, and hopefully there will be some more information about this later. Also at the Raw Story, which probably still is my favorite independent news site out there. They do their own journalism, they've broken stories, and they've stayed pretty true to their original kind of ethics, I guess. You know, the boss man there, he and I have had a chat a couple times, seems like a good guy. So anyway, post at Raw Story that you should check out. Peak oil now, leaked cables show concerns that Saudi's running low. Potential oil reserves are often treated as a state secret. This is from Stephen C. Webster. This is especially true in Saudi Arabia, the world's largest oil producer. But soon, the cheap energy bonanza could be on the downturn. According to U.S. State Department documents released by British newspaper The Guardian, documents dated between 2007 and 2009 point to a phenomenon known as peak oil. Now, we all know about this. We've been talking about the peak oil thing for as long as this network has been on the air. Known to many as peak oil, or the point of production where you cannot continue producing more, leading to a decline in availability and spike in prices. But far from being a mad prophet of doom, the U.S. cable sources is not someone whose credibility is easily questioned. His name is Dr. Sadad al-Husseini. The former head geologist in charge of exploration for the Saudi oil firm Aramco. He retired in 2004 but stayed in touch with U.S. officials. According to al-Husseini, Saudi Arabian reserves may be smaller than thought. Even though the Saudis are on a growth cycle aimed at pumping out over 12 million barrels a day over the next several years, but al-Husseini warned global output would likely peak before then and potentially starting in 2012. Our mission now questions how much the Saudis can now substantively influence the crude markets over the long term, one of the cables noted. Clearly, they can drive prices up, but we question whether they any longer have the power to drive prices down for a prolonged period. A decline in production in Saudi Arabia would likely send global oil prices soaring, with demand far outpacing supply. A series of major project delays and accidents, then there's a series of X's in the post, not sure what that is. Accidents over the last couple of years is evidence that Saudi Aramco is having to run harder to stay in place. To replace the decline in existing production, the document continued, additional production would likely come from increasingly heavy crude, which the world lacks sufficient capacity to easily refine. The Saudis appear disinclined to discount its heavy crude sufficiently, so the market is disinclined to purchase it. In neighboring Iran, the regime is now purchasing floating storage for heavy crude, which has no takers. While this mission is far from embracing doomsday peak oil theorists, Saudi Aramco's challenges are significant. In another cable, al-Husseini argues that Aramco may have been overstating the potential for production all along. And I've reported rumors of this over the years, that the none of this is verifiable by anyone third party. So, of course the Saudis are going to say there's tons. It says in another cable, al-Husseini argues that Aramco may have been overstating the potential for production all along by the vast sum of over 300 billion barrels in speculative resources. According to al-Husseini, the crux of the issue is twofold. The cable explains, first, it is possible that Saudi reserves are not as bountiful as sometimes described in the timeline for the production, not as unrestrained as Aramco executives and energy optimists would like to portray. Another cable shows how even the world's wealthiest oil-producing nation, concerns about potential output are catching up to the developed nation's renewable energy technology has spurred innovation. The document noted that Saudi electricity demand was expected to grow 10% a year for the next decade. The consequence of that is that Saudi Arabia will have to constrain exports in order to drive up oil prices, allowing them to pay for doubling their electric grid capacity by 2018. And there's a connected video from Al Jazeera, who is finally getting its moment to prove that it is actually one of the best news organizations out there, especially in that part of the world. They got everything. They got absolutely, they have the boots on the ground. So, you know, and having watched what's been going on in Egypt, I can only just praise their efforts. The only issue that I had with them at all during any of this was when they'd have bloggers and stuff on the phone, and sometimes it just asked like they were seemed like they were asking hollow questions. But I think it was just they were all so spun out by everything that was going on, their offices being bombed or burned or closed, or, you know, journalists being arrested and beaten. And just reminded me of something. Major sidetrack I have to pull. Last night here in Australia on SBS, there were two amazing films. One I can't recall the title of. Hopefully Gail will come and bring it to me. The second one was Iran's Green Summer, I think it was. And the second one was actually animated blog posts from Iran during the Green Revolution. This is one intense hour. This is one very intense hour to witness. I recommend anyone. Okay, and the other film was called Persepolis. And this is another animated film about an Iranian girl who escapes, whose family basically sends her to France to get her out of Iran during the Islamic Revolution. And her story is brilliantly told about her escaping and then going back and then finally leaving again. And the way that they arranged this one film was first, and then the one about the Green Revolution was after that, and it almost seemed like it was two acts of the same play. And I would, you know, go rent them both. Go get them both. Thanks, Phase 5. He's just put it in the chat room. Phase 5 is one of our Australian listeners, a good friend of mine. And I don't know if you saw these last night, Phase, but incredible. And any of the Australian listeners that are here, I'm kind of hoping that this is on SBS's website on the archives for a few days. It is so worth watching. It is such an interior view of what's happened. It just absolutely fantastic. Gail and I were just sitting here absolutely silent for 3.5 hours. I was quiet for that long. You got to be impressed with that. but I seriously, yeah, and Faye's gone. He doesn't get a good SBS signal. It seems to be the issue with a lot of people around. But fantastic stuff, fantastic stuff. Persepolis, Persepolis is the name of one of the film, and the other one is Iran's Green Summer. Both animated features. Find them. This is like homework viewing. I can't emphasize it enough. And the tales in Iran's Green Summer, showing the violence, the beatings against people who were just peacefully protesting, asking, "Where's my vote?" The rapes. The beatings by plainclothesmen. And the absolute ripping off. It, Gotta see it. Gotta see it. And Betsy's also been putting in some links there to IMDb on these films. And I'm told that they're on Persepolis is on Netflix DVD, and they're just absolutely genius, really, really genius. And you know, if some brave American, if there was a brave American commercial network, they would do what SBS did last night, which is to run both of these things in succession in prime time. Because it's a beautiful setup for what's going on in Egypt. And how important it is for the Egyptians to maintain nonviolence. Because it is through nonviolence that they will win. It is the only way. It is the only way. And the tragedy is that, for whatever reason, during the Green Revolution, the world just didn't stand up for the Iranians. Again, this concept that, like, there can be too much democracy for some. And the vice president of Egypt, Suleiman, the CIA's dude, has actually come out and said that Egypt isn't ready for democracy. You know, this is the guy that said he was going to call the protesters parents. And talk about out of touch. Will, you've nailed it. Will in the chat room has nailed it. Nonviolence shows that people are committed to principle. And you're absolutely, absolutely spot on, Will. You know, on Bill Maher's program, I mentioned this last night, on Bill Maher's program, someone asked the question, well, what would this revolution look like if the Egyptians were armed like Americans? And it's just like a ridiculous fucking question. It's just a stupid question. If the pro-democracy protesters were armed, that is democracy at gunpoint. So hence, it's not democracy. You know, and I know that this is frustrating. This has got to be shitting the neocons right now. That real democracy is trying to break out in Egypt. And we've had absolutely nothing to do with it. Which is the way that it should be. Stay out. But I do hear that we've got some sort of battleship just in the area suddenly showing up. So, I mean, I can't even predict what the Americans are going to continue to do over Egypt. And there was, actually, while we're on this, I've got to go back and find one of the stories, one of the links that, a few updates, things that are going on in Egypt. The parliament's still blockaded by about 1,000 people. And it seems as though a labor strikes are happening. Labor strikes, so this is from the New York Times, from Karim Fahim. Labor strikes and worker protests that flared across Egypt on Wednesday affected post offices, textile factories, and even the government's flagship newspaper as protesters recaptured the initiative in their battle for the resignation of President Hosni Mubarak. At the newspaper Al-Ahram, freelance reporters demanding better wages and more independence from the government snarled one of the state's most powerful propaganda tools and seemed to be forcing a change in its tone. On Wednesday, the front page, which had sought for days to downplay the protests, called recent attacks by pro-Mubarak protesters on Tahrir Square as an offense to the whole nation. The government media people are showing spine. You'll never see this with Fox News people. They're actually saying, this is bullshit. I'm tired of denying the people their voice. I'm tired of being a mouthpiece for the regime. And they're walking out. And they're walking out. Yeah, Brett. Brett's just popped in the chat room. I know you're on in a couple of minutes, mate. I will be off and free and clear. Don't worry. An obvious reminder, coming up next.
Whoa!
The Rick Smith Show. Sorry, I have a flop around microphone. The Rick Smith Show coming up here in just a few short minutes. I'm just wrapping up a couple things here. You know, Egypt continues to move forward, I think. And the people there know that this is a long haul, and they're ready to sit and stay until they get the changes that they want. So, you know, things continue to move, and there have been reports of, you know, the protests are growing around the whole nation of Egypt. And even though that there's been less violence at, say, Tahrir Square in Alexandria, where the cameras are, there are reports of lots of violence in the smaller towns where protests are happening. So there's a little bit of, there's this game of media whack-a-mole going on with the protesters, the Mubarak government, Vodafone being a tool of the Mubarak government, which I hopefully made very, very clear yesterday. Land of the free, home of the brave, this line that we like to use to describe Americans. Egypt, it's the land of the soon-to-be-free and the currently extremely brave. Extremely brave. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible what these people are willing to put up with. And no matter how many ways Mubarak and his thugs try to manipulate the situation, hold on to power, it's showing them to be incredibly out of touch. It's showing them to be incredibly desperate. It's incredibly desperate. Because like I said yesterday, he's already gone in the mind of the Egyptian people. His whole regime is already gone. They are the only ones that haven't realized it yet. And the people are going to stay in the streets until they leave. It's just absolutely astounding, the incredible tenacity of these wonderful people. And the fact that these people, the Egyptian government is trying very hard to try and get all the different groups that are part of this mass protest to try and make them turn on one another. And so far, it seems to just not be working. And we continue to see the Christians and the atheists protecting the Muslims while they pray, the Muslims playing guard for the Christians while they have mass, and neither of those two are telling the atheists that they got to convert. That is how a secular society should behave. Because they're not so short-sighted to think, well, I'm not getting mine, so they got to be against me. And they're not falling for divide and conquer. And all I can say is I wish for these people success in their efforts. And nothing but my undying awe of the spine that they've shown. To not be violent, to basically only hurl rocks back when fired upon. You know, this whole thing, this is how it's supposed to happen. And there was a piece that I was sent yesterday I didn't even get to, but, you know, it seems like the debate in America, it, at least amongst talking heads and politicians, you know, of certain stripes, saying, you know, that it's basically a choice between, you know, American security and the Egyptian security. Like, too much democracy for Egypt will make America insecure. America's insecure anyway. I mean, 20, 30 years of fear-mongering and anti-intellectualism have created a pretty fearful, ignorant nation. It's pretty scary. So anyway, we're going to get close to wrapping things up here so I can get off a couple minutes early to make sure I don't get in the way of Rick and Brett, because they're coming up here soon. And I'm using the ultimate override stream, so that's the way that it goes. Maybe I'll get to this tomorrow. I kind of missed this. Thanks, Betsy. I totally missed this today. There's a story about no religion in schools of any kind in Sweden, not even private schools. Sorry I missed that one, because that's a great story. We'll get to that one tomorrow. It's a great one, because it's just, in my perfect world, this is how it would be. That's all I'm saying. So, for the minute, folks, what we're going to do here is, first of all, please hit up the PayPal. We really, really need some assistance this month. And be here tomorrow. It'll be the last show for me this week because I have a gig out of town the next day. But it's always great filling in for Bob, and really digging it. Thanks to Lottie and Texas Betsy and Susan and Gene and everybody else, David in the chat, everybody in the chat room for ringing in, sending me stuff, taking care of the blog, everything that you do, the chat room. Love yous, love yous, love yous. And with that, as always, Gina, it's all for you.
It's really an agenda that the business right has been wanting to pursue for generations. It's right now they see victory on the horizon. They see all of the money they've been spending on right-wing talking heads, all the money they've been pouring into think tank, all of the messaging, all of that Lewis Powell prophecy, if you will, coming to fruition. And they're seeing it. They're tasting that victory. The only problem is they're dealing with a bunch of bozos over here on the Hill who, I got to be honest, I'm thankful for some of them. I'm thankful for Mike Terzai and the ridiculous stunt he pulled last week, because that really, I think, is going to come back and bite them. Because you know what? The Republicans don't want that kind of bad press. They don't want that kind of bad PR, and that's what they got out of it. So it'll be interesting to see as we go forward, you know, how some of this privatization scheme works out, how this auction, because look, they're talking about auctioning off all of our stuff, and we've been talking about it for months here. They want to get rid of our state stores. They want to get rid of our roads, our bridges. Eventually, we're going to end up like Maine. For anybody who spent any amount of time in Maine, they have an awful lot of toll roads. Everywhere you go, you got to throw something in the box. Every time you turn the corner, oh, something in the box. And what I love about Maine is right when you come into the state, there's a big sign, Maine, life the way it ought to be. And I always question that, the way life ought to be kind of thing, every time I dig into my pocket and have to